Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week's message is titled Forgiveness. Thank you to Julie, Jeff, and Don for being involved in the video. The scripture reading is Matthew 6, 12 to 15.
Good morning. Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ and the service that we're holding this morning in the building. We'd like to wish a happy birthday to Ben, Ben F. So with our prayer requests, we want to remind you that Mike had cataract surgery last week, and his post-op checkup went very well. He's got some sight back, and it's just a matter of seeing how he does in and out of the week with a little bit more healing. But we're thanking God for prayers answered that he does have his sight. We also have word here that Jeff T's sister is in hospital, but her condition continues to improve. Her testing and treatment plans are ongoing. And then in your bulletins, of course, there's other names of people that we have been keeping in our prayers all along. I've got a scripture reading to start our day. Matthew 6, verse 12 to 15. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Oh, hooked. Always a problem with those things. Pretty soon, hopefully, we won't have to fight with them quite so much. I always like to look at what Donnie's talking about so I can ask the Spirit to generate something within me that I hope will be advantageous to you and will tie in with what he has to say. And when I read what he had for this week and the topic of forgiveness, I thought there are so many associations with the table. This is core. This is one of the prime reasons that Christ came, to bring forgiveness and to solidify it for us with his Father. John says, God is light. In him there is no darkness. God cannot live with sin. It's foreign to him. It's disruptive. It's the antithesis of the unity and peace that he has within himself, with the Son and with the Spirit. But we're not like that, are we? We want to be. We're like Paul, who felt at war within himself. He wanted to do one thing, but his nature turned in a different direction. Sin introduced disharmony in the world. Christ paid a price at Calvary to reclaim that harmony for us. He knew, despite what he called out at the cross, that only he could usher in forgiveness in its fullest sense. Only by paying a price that we could not. Later in the book of Matthew, Jesus says, "This cup is the blood of the covenant poured out for forgiveness." It's a new agreement that mends the breach between us and God. If we think about our human relationships, forgiveness for another frees us. It frees us from bad thoughts, rash actions, and from guilt. It's a gift of the other person. It binds us as a pair. It heals us within ourselves and within the relationship. And it empowers us. we can leave the wrong behind to go on and mend the relationship. Today, as we break bread, I want you to think about that gift that Jesus gave at the cross in that same way. Allow God to free you. Accept his gift to heal you. As Maslow would say, actualize or achieve what he wanted for you to be, empowered by the Spirit. Just before he died, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing." We need that forgiveness every day, and we break this bread and we drink from this cup to remind us that the spotless Lamb brought it for us. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, it's so amazing to us that you have paid a debt that we all hold, but only your spotless Lamb could pay. As we break this bread and we drink from this cup, Father, we recognize that you have bought us back, that you have forgiven us, that you free us, Father, that you empower us to a new life. May we be in tune with the Spirit this week, that we may show this gift of your Son to others. Bless us now as we take from these emblems, for we pray in Christ. Amen.
Good morning to all. Thank you for being with us today. I want to spend a little bit of time talking about forgiveness. Part of the Lord's Prayer, in fact, is forgiveness. And I'm wondering if you would join me in just reciting the Lord's Prayer. Many of us remember when we were children in school, we would sing "God Save the Queen" and we would recite the Lord's Prayer. How many remember doing that? That was something that we always did. And maybe because it becomes rote, we just don't really think about the Lord's Prayer, but it's powerful every time it is said. So I just ask you to stand, and very quietly, we will just recite the Lord's Prayer into our own mass, but let's say it together.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated. Part of the Lord's Prayer, of course, is forgiveness. One of the greatest gifts we can give is forgiveness. I've often thought of doing this, and I've never done it, writing a card at Christmas time to myself, putting it in a piece of paper, wrapping it up, and opening it on Christmas Day. And the gift says, "Remember, you are forgiven." It's the understanding that this forgiveness overflows, cleanses, and it's one of the greatest gifts God gives us. forgiveness. One of the greatest gifts is not only giving forgiveness, but of course, receiving forgiveness. Forgiveness has the ability to free us from sleepless nights and very anxious days. It's wonderful to forgive because it connects us to God so closely. Part of the nature of God is forgiveness. And we are created in the presence and in the nature of God, which means we are given forgiveness by God, and it needs to be part of us so that we can share that forgiveness with others. Do you find it difficult to forgive? And some would say, well, it depends on what I need to forgive. But God comes along and says, in Christ, forgiveness is offered. It's wonderful to forgive because it reminds us that we are part of God, created in the image of God. And if we don't forgive, we remove from God's very nature what he wants us to do and to be. God loves forgiveness, and as difficult as it may be, he wants us to forgive even grievous sins. Just want to do a fair amount of reading from Scripture today. Some of them will be Scriptures that you know. Some may not be welcome to you in as far as remembering them. I went back and looked at some that I thought, wow, I forgot all about that. And I want to share some of those Scriptures today. But just a couple of quick ones. In Psalm 19, the second part of verse 12, the psalmist says, forgive my hidden faults. Not hidden by God. I've been trying to hide these sins for a long, long time. And so the psalmist says, forgive my hidden faults. Psalm 25:11, for the sake of your name, God, forgive my iniquity. Forgive my sin, though it is great. And I love what that psalmist says. For the sake of your name, God, part of your name is forgiveness. There's multiple words that can be given to God. Lord, Savior, on and on and on. But have you ever stopped to think about one of the names of God is the forgiver, the one who loves to forgive? Psalm 65 and verse 3, when we were overwhelmed by the sins, you forgave our transgressions. Psalm 79 and 9, help us, O God, our Savior, for the glory of your name, deliver us and forgive us our sins for your name's sake. So there's all kinds of stories in the Scripture, monumental stories where forgiveness is involved. And here's one that we may have forgotten over the years. I'm going to read a fair amount of Scripture. It's going to be found in 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 30. And here's the background. David always wanted to build a temple to the Lord, and God didn't permit it. But David's son Solomon becomes king, and Solomon says, I want to build the temple that my father wanted to build. And God gives him the go-ahead to build the temple. And then after the temple is built, the temple of the Lord, Solomon asks for forgiveness. Even before it's built, Solomon asks God if he can build the temple. God says yes, and Solomon says, please forgive me. Even before I build the temple, please forgive Israel. It's a lovely story. Let me read it to you. 1 Kings chapter 8, beginning in verse 30. It's a lengthy scripture, but notice how often the word forgive is given. So Solomon goes ahead and builds the temple. He dedicates the temple, and I'm going to start reading from verse 30. Hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. When a man wrongs his neighbor and is required to take an oath, and he comes and swears the oath before your altar in his temple, then hear from heaven and act. Judge between your servants, condemning the guilty and bringing down on his own head what he has done. Declare the innocent not guilty, and so establish his innocence. Now remember, he's talking about people who sin. And God says, but please declare us not guilty. Why? Because of you. Because it's who you are. And then verse 33. When your people Israel have been defeated by an enemy because they have sinned against you, and when they turn back to you and confess your name, praying and making supplication to you in this temple, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them back to the land you gave their fathers. He's talking about their future and what's going to happen. And when the heavens are shut up and there's no rain because your people have sinned against you, and when they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you have afflicted them, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel. Teach them the right way to live and send rain on the land you gave your people for an inheritance. When famine or plague comes to the land, or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, or when an enemy besieges them in one of their cities, whatever disaster or disease may come, and when a prayer or plead is made by any of your people Israel, each one aware of the afflictions of his own heart, and spreading out his hands toward his temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place. Forgive and act and deal with each man according to all he does, since you know in his heart, for you alone know the hearts of all men, so that they will fear you all the time they live in the land that you gave your forefathers. And as the foreigner who does not belong to your people Israel, but has come from a distant land because of your name, for men will hear of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm when he comes and prays toward this temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and do whatever the foreigner asks of you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your own people Israel, and may they know that this house I have built bears your name. And when your people go to war against their enemies, wherever you send them, and when they pray to the Lord toward the city you have chosen and the temple I have built for your name, then hear from heaven their prayer and their plea and uphold their cause. He's bearing very strong in his words to God. This is quite a prayer. And when sin against you, when they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them and give them over to the enemy who takes them captive to his own land, far away or near, and if they have a change of heart in the land where they're held captive and repent and plead with you in the land of their conquerors and say, we have sinned, we have done wrong, we have acted wickedly, and if they turn back to you with all their heart and soul in the land of their enemies who took them captive and pray to you toward the land you gave your fathers, toward the city you have chosen in the temple I have built for you in your name, then from heaven your dwelling place, hear their prayer and their plea and uphold their cause. And forgive your people who have sinned against you. Forgive all the offenses they have committed against you and cause their conquerors to show them mercy. For they are your people and your inheritance, whom you brought out of Egypt, out of that iron smelting furnace." It's quite a scripture where this was a strong plea to God, almost a command, a demand to God, saying, "God, we need this forgiveness." But that's not new. When Jesus enters into the picture, as far as the birth of Jesus and so forth from the four Gospels, and the continual teaching of Jesus, there is this beautiful attitude that he gives. And of course, they're called the Beatitudes. And Jesus is preaching. And some 2,000 years ago, he talked about the beautiful healing comfort. And that still gives us today in forgiveness. So in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12, listen to these words. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Forgiveness." This beatitude, this wonderful gift of forgiveness, is given to us freely by God, and it's, of course, through Jesus Christ. Now, following the resurrection, predominant teaching of the apostles was forgiveness. And sometimes you get caught up in looking at these exciting adventures that the apostles were on. After Jesus died and buried, goes to heaven, the church begins, and then it's just a remarkable story of Peter and various other apostles wanting to proclaim, preach the preaching of Christ in Jerusalem. And then it begins to grow and develop, and Paul comes along. And all throughout all of the New Testament, one of the primary teachings, of course, is about forgiveness. And some of the scribes and some of the Pharisees and some of the Sadducees weren't very happy about that. And so the preaching even becomes stronger in the New Testament regarding forgiveness. Acts 5, beginning in verse 17. "Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. 'Go stand in the temple courts,' he said, 'and tell the people the full message of this new life.' At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. And when the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent them to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them. So they went back and reported, 'We found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside.' On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would come of all of this. And then someone came and said, 'Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people.' At that, the captain went to his officers, brought the apostles, They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. Interesting. Jesus is called the high priest, not the Sanhedrin. We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. And Peter and the other apostles replied. And I'd love to be there and hear exactly what all of them were saying. We do have one thing that's being said. Peter and the other apostles replied kind of with the same theme. We must obey God rather than men. The God of our forefathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. And God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. One of the primary reasons the church began to grow was not only through the help and the motivation of the Holy Spirit, but it was because of forgiveness. That the apostles, as they began preaching the message of Christ, one of the theme messages in the preaching is forgiveness. Why would anyone want to join this group of people following this leader, Christ, who some people said is God in flesh, incarnate, who came and preached, who died, who was raised again, came back to life, and one day will bring all of us together? What's all this about? All of it is because of God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And whoever believes in him would not, what? Perish. But have life and life eternal. Part of that means life that works no matter what is happening. And part of that is to receive that forgiveness that we all need so badly and then share that forgiveness with others. Wouldn't it be cool if all churches were known as go there? They love people and they forgive people. Forgiveness is part of the nature of God, and it needs to be part of our nature because of how he gives it to us. The first century church began with the preaching of forgiveness of sins. You remember this story very well. At Pentecost, all kinds of things are taking place, and Peter says these words, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness, for the remission of sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Spirit. This promise is for you. It's for your children. It's for all who are far off. It's for all whom the Lord will call. And he does call us. It's for everyone. Forgiveness is given to all." And Jesus makes it clear. If you find it difficult to forgive, be careful. Others may do the same. But if you can demonstrate forgiveness, you may have saved people from so many wrongs. Forgiveness is a lifestyle. Something about that person. There's just something about that person. They're kind. They're helpful. They've had terrible things happen to them, but they seem like they're on the top of the world. How could that be? Because they forgive. Honestly, authentically, it's okay. We've all made mistakes. We all sin. We will all sin. But one of the great calling cards of the church in the first century and even today is, oh, how they love people. in all how they forgive. It sets us and them free. So when the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, he gave them good advice on Christian living, and a big part of it was forgiveness. Colossians 2, 12 and 13. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead, when you were dead in your sins, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us, listen, all our sin. Well, I haven't finished sinning yet. I'm still a human. He forgives all your sin. And one of the great things about forgiveness, it sets us free. It sets others free. And forgiveness is overflowing. And if it's overflowing, and if it's part of God's nature, can't we be quick to offer forgiveness? Help setting people free. Have you ever heard somebody say, I just can't forgive myself? Maybe you can't, but God does. Jesus does. The Holy Spirit does. And other people do. So get with it. Everyone else has, so get with it. If you want to be forgiven, forgive. And that might start with yourself. Forgiving yourself. It's not arrogance. It's humility. When in my mind, I pictured this last night. Here's Solomon building this unbelievable temple to the Lord. And it was powerful. And it was frightening. It was overwhelming. It was too glorious. It was just too much to comprehend. And I could see the priests working in there, even somewhat terrified. And I love the scripture where it talks about how the priest would worship all night long. They had shift work. There were priests that would sacrifice during the day. There were priests that would sacrifice in the evening. There was priests who sacrificed all night long, saying, Israel is forgiven because God is the forgiver. Morning, afternoon, evening, night, day after day after day. When does God's forgiveness end? It doesn't. It's part of who he is. And he has given us his nature. So remember who you are. If you find it difficult to forgive, remember who you are. You are loved by God. You are forgiven by God. And now live that nature, forgiving others. Oh, how they forgive. So in conclusion, may I just read this last scripture, Ephesians 4 and verse 32. Man, this would change the world. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgives you. Happy forgiveness. Amen.
I want to thank you again for being with us today. And I want to thank Donnie and Jeff for their thoughts about forgiveness. I know that there's nothing simple about this topic. I taught for years, 32 years, and one of the biggest things that I ever had to teach children was not reading, writing, and arithmetic, but how to forgive each other when they got into squabbles, playground squabbles. And, you know, it wasn't as simple as saying, I'm sorry, which was usually their first approach. But, you know, what Donnie in particular has reminded me of today is how forgiveness really isn't simple. It's a really big topic, and it's all wrapped up in things like love and empathy and a desire to solve conflict and a desire to have peace. And when all of that stuff comes together and you're approaching things from the heart of Jesus, then forgiveness is much more possible and much more easy to do than when you're caught up in your own desires. So thank you for that big lesson, something that I'm sure that we all think about a lot and something that we all need to take into our hearts and to continue to strive for. This is a lifelong process. So thank you so much, everyone. Let me just bow my head in prayer for a moment and we'll be on our way. Dear God, thank you so much for bringing us together. We ask that you be with those of us who are struggling with illness or depression or circumstances in life that are difficult. We have so many people that are on our prayer list that I don't care to list out right now, but we often do in our personal prayers at home, and we just bring all of those people to you and ask that you intervene, that you bring people into their lives, whether that be others or us, that you help us to guide people into a place of healing and into a place of comfort and joy and peace. Please be with us as we go about our lives this week so that we can be messengers of your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. If you would like to be part of the videos but aren't comfortable joining us in person, you can send us a video. Get in touch via email or on Facebook for more details. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.